It's interesting, we were looking at David facing the mighty giant. But David in his life faced many mighty giants. And we're going to find that he faces a giant in Psalm 77. I want you to turn your Bibles there. That's the 77th Psalm. I've been asked by God's servant to bring a word today to you concerning depression and what it is to be down in the valley of depression. Winston Churchill said, and he was a mighty man in the United Kingdom. Winston Churchill was one of the great wartime leaders. But he said this. He said, depression followed me around like a black dog all my life. Not many knew that that was true in Winston Churchill's life. A lawyer in the 1800s suffered such a deep depression that his friends did everything that they could to keep all the razors and the knives away from him. He wrote these words, "I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall be better, I cannot tell. I awfully forebode I shall not." That lawyer became the 16th president of the United States of America. His name was Abraham Lincoln. And yet, there was a time in his life when his friends had to keep all the razors and all the knives away from him. He was so much in depression. Even Spurgeon, the mighty Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was given to periods of depression. It was said that there were times he was so depressed that he would not leave home to go to church. There were occasions that his deacons had to come and physically carry him to the pulpit. So this is a serious subject. Let's turn to Psalm 77. "I cried unto my God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I communed with my own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength amongst the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee and were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heavens. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's just bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, I come before thee this afternoon and I need thy help. I come before thee acknowledging my need, acknowledging my unworthiness, acknowledging my nothingness. But I come before thee, the sovereign, almighty God of heaven and earth. And thou hast promised me grace sufficient for the situation. Help me to be wise in what I say. Help me to be helpful to those that are gathered here. Thou knowest the need of every heart. We know that man looks on the outward appearance, but God looketh in the heart. And so to this end, O God, I pray that thou will help me just to be faithful to thee, to honor thee in all things. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now I know that in many lives of believers, God's people expect in their lives to be a flower strewn pathway. Many people believe that Christians shouldn't have any problems, that somehow they're immune from that. That the child of God does not face a life of struggle, does not face a life of pain, does not face a life of weakness or a life of difficulties, trials, fears, disappointments, sickness. But you know, whenever you read the Psalms, you find that the reality of life is different. But what you find is this. You find a spirituality that is deeper than the surface. Something that meets the need for every situation. And what we find in Psalm 77 is this. The psalmist is dealing with the realities of life. He's opening his heart. He's letting us get a look inside. If my heart were a window that you could see through, what would you see? If your heart were a window today that I could see through, tell me, what would I see there? You see, friend, let's be honest. Behind many a smiling face, there's an aching heart. And just because you see the person and it seems to be that they're happy in their ways, it seems to be that everything is going swimmingly for them and everything in life is just wonderful, that may not be true. For many a child of God is going through deep waters. And that's what the psalmist is honestly letting you and I know about what is in his heart. And in the psalm, we see his complaints, we see his heartache, we see his loneliness that he pours out before God. And the psalmist is acknowledging, and I believe he's showing us how to live the Christian life in the darkest of days. And I believe there's a secret in this psalm. How to handle depression, how to handle our problems that we are facing. And many are the problems that overwhelm our spirits, that awaken our memory, that robs us of sleep, that even seals our lips. We'll find this in this psalm. And those who have known the depths of despair and loneliness and hopelessness ought to thank God that in God's precious word we have a psalm where the psalmist opens his heart and lets us look in. You'll notice at the outset of the psalm, it reveals the depths of his pain, his heartache. You notice in the first 12 verses, there's the emphasis on this I, my. Verse 1, I cry unto God with my voice. Even unto God with my voice. And he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God. Verse 5. I have considered the days of old. Verse 6. I called to remembrance my song. Verse 10. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. Verse 11. I will remember the works of the Lord. Verse 12. I will meditate. I. My. And then something happens in the psalm. When you come to verse 13. It changes from I and my to thy. And in the psalm, it speaks about, from verse 13, I, verse 14, thou. And friend, to be honest, when you see you're in the depths of despair, it's all I. My pain. And what I'm going through. And what I have to face. And the problems that I have to be confronted with. And the tribulations that I am facing. And the valley that I'm experiencing. And you're consumed by I and my. And let me say this honestly. That's a lonely place to be. When you're shut in. With yourself. But then thank God in the midst of it. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. And friend, that's when the difference comes. When you get your eyes of your problems and you get your eye upon the Lord. Bigger than all of my problems, bigger than all of my fears, God is bigger than any mountain that I can or I can't see. And when we're trapped in despondency, and we're at the end of the road, and we don't know where to go, I want to give you simple advice. What do I do? What do I do at the end of the road? Now let me tell you, friend, do you know what's happening today? sad to say, many come to the end of the, not only the road, but they come to the end of a rope. And one of the great challenges for many people today is this, and we're seeing it on the news yesterday, it was filled about the reporter in the United States of America that interviewed presidents that went all over the world and talked about so many things, and yet in France, in an hotel, in the loneliness of an hotel, he committed suicide. And friend, he was not in his own in that, because it's happening day after day after day. For some reason, they see no way out. I speak in a certain way from personal experience. For I have a lovely sister-in-law that reared a lovely family. She loved the Lord. But then she came into a dark place. She said she was in a tunnel. And she could see no light. And one day she committed suicide. That's a serious place to be. And before any of us point the finger, just remember this. There go I, but for the grace of God. So I want to tell you what the psalmist, I believe, is saying in these verses to help you. And if you're in a dark place in your life and you don't understand what you're going through, and friend, to be honest, whenever you get into that place of despair, when you get into that place of despondency, and the devil says there's no way out, and you never make it through, and you know, if you really love the Lord, and if you're really walking with God, you'd never be there. You'd never experience that. You would never feel those feelings. You'd never be in that valley of depression. If you really were a child of God. And the old devil comes as the accuser. And he points the finger. Not to lift you out of your despair, but to drive you deeper. To tell you, there is no hope. But remember what Jesus said concerning the devil. He's a liar. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. He's a murderer. And the devil will want to kill your joy and your happiness and your hope. And to tell you, there is no way out, only you'd be far better getting out. You'd be far better ending it all. You'd be far better leaving this misery behind, because you're only a misery, not only to yourself, but you're a misery to your family. And you'd do more for your family if you were to just get out of it all. Yes, he's a murderer. And he would love to kill you. Drive you into the depths of despondency. But I want to tell you, there is a way out. And there is a way through. And I believe the secret is found here in the psalm. Even in the midst of the depths of the sorrow and the anguish and the pain that the psalmist is going through. And there are four simple things. First of all, look up to the throne. That's the first thing. Look at verse 1. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. I tell you, this is earnest prayer. He said, I cried. I cried unto the Lord. I remember when I was a child, when my mom got saved, gave her heart to Christ, my mom used to go into her bedroom alone and would pray. But she didn't pray in. My mother always prayed out. And one of the precious memories that I have of my mother was this. Was my mother going into that bedroom, and I remember going as a child to my brother's bedroom door and sitting down at the door, outside the door, listening to my mother pray. I heard her cry to God for my father, who wasn't saved. I heard her pray earnestly for her children, that God would keep his hand upon each and every one of us. She didn't pray about us collectively. No, she prayed about us individually. And one by one, she left her children at the throne of grace in prayer. And she lifted up her voice to God in prayer. Now here the psalmist is in dead earnest. He is in great need before God. And what does he do, friend? He cries out. He says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. You know what he's doing? He's telling the Lord his troubles. He's telling God about his need. He takes his burden to the Lord. I don't know whether he told others before that. Because quite often, let's be honest, that's what we do. When we're in trouble, we get a friend. And we tell them. But friend, let me tell you. You see, whenever you get into that depths of depression, your nearest and dearest, no use. And so therefore the psalmist, having looked to others and found no help, he turns to God in prayer. You know what happens today? People turn to drink. People turn to tablets. It's their own way out. Tell me, what about God? What about telling him? What to do, as the Word of God says, casting all your care upon him? What did the psalmist do when he cried to God for him? The psalmist opened up his heart before God. He was honest before God. There's no use. If you're coming before God, then open up your heart before God. Let me tell you something about the Lord. When you tell a friend, let me tell you, they can let you down. In other words, they can tell somebody else. That's the real thing about the Lord. He'll not go and tell your secret. He'll not go and tell your problem. He'll not go and gossip about it. Thank God he'll listen. He'll hear your cry. That's what's happening today, of course. One of the big problems for our young people of this day is that they tell all their life story on a phone these days. They don't phone a friend. They just put all the messages out on it. And you see their fingers going all the time. And you ask them, that's my friend. Let me just warn you something. Remember, your friend today, tomorrow can be your enemy. And why is it that so many young people, let me tell you, come to the end of it all? Because they tell their secrets. They would never say it if they're looking face to face. But because they're doing it on this phone, that somehow they can do it, and they're not looking at the person, so therefore they will open up their hearts. And then tomorrow, whenever that person is no longer your friend, what do? They tell it. And then you're trapped. You thought you had a friend. I want to tell you, I have a friend. His name is Jesus. And whenever that hymn was written by an Ulster man, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. And friend, trouble will come. Look at it says in verse 2, in the day of my trouble. And trouble will come. You're not immune to trouble. I'm not immune to trouble. Problems of life are a reality. And we all have to face it. What does the word of God say? Listen, God doesn't mislead his children. God says it's man that is born of a woman. Job chapter 14. Man that is born of a woman. That takes you and me in. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Somebody said one time, you're either going into trouble, going through trouble, or coming out of trouble. It's never far away. And the psalmist said here, in the day of my trouble, what did he do? He says, I sought the Lord. I sought God. But to be honest, he was in a deep valley. And whilst he sought the Lord, he said there in verse number 2, he said, my soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul, listen, my soul refused to be comforted. His problem was so deep. You know, problems seem worse in the night time. You see, in the midst of trouble, I tell you, it's a long night. When you're lying in your bed and you can't sleep, it's a long night. And the psalmist was going through a long night of experience. And when he felt his prayer was not answered, what did he do, friend? He didn't stop praying. He kept on praying. And you know, when you're in the midst of your darkness and you're in the midst of your struggle and you're in the midst of your battle, I want to say to you in God's name, don't stop. Listen, be like Jacob. Jacob says, I will not let thee go till thou dost bless me. I'm not going to stop. Oh, the devil says, what's the use of praying? Sure, it hasn't helped you. What's the use of praying? Sure, God's not listening. Jacob says, I'll not let go. He said, my soul refused to be comforted. Listen, what he was saying here, apart from a word from God, there's no other real comfort that I need. I don't need the empty phrases of man. I don't need the empty platitudes of man. I don't need the pats on the back from man. That's not going to help me in the day of my trouble. I need a word from God. And friend, outside of that, there is no real comfort for you. You need a word from God. But let's be honest. He was so low. Look at verse 3. He says, I remembered God and was troubled. He was so low that even the thought, the very thought of God troubled him. You know what? He just didn't know what God was doing. He couldn't explain it. He was puzzled about what was happening in his life. And he couldn't see a way through. Even though he had prayed to God, he said, I remembered God. Verse number 3. I remembered God. I was troubled. I complained. and my spirit was overwhelmed. And you know, complaining doesn't help. There's a temptation whenever we're in the midst of trouble, friends, to blame somebody, looking for somebody to blame. Blaming others, blaming situations in our lives. But the psalmist realized that there was nothing he needed to do. First of all, he needed to look up to God. And friend, that's what you and I need to do. You and I need to look up to God. Because I can tell you this. Somebody asked the question in 9/11, where was God in 9/11 in America? And the answer is simple, friend. God was on his throne. And God's still on the throne. And I can tell you, no situation in my life and no situation in your life will change the fact that God is still sovereign. Listen, the psalmist is honest. He couldn't see it. And even when he thought about God and when he thought about what God was doing, listen, he complained. He said, my spirit was overwhelmed. He was consumed even by his situation. Secondly, very quickly, he looked into his heart. Verses 4 to 10. The psalmist said this, thou holdest mine eyes waking. I was so troubled, I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I communed with my own heart. My spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy team gone forever? Doth his promises fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? See that. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. And what the psalmist does is this. He looks into his heart, friend, and he's honest before God because his heart is filled with questions. There's no use pretending. He came to a place he was so distressed in his life then, he couldn't sleep. He says, thine holdest mine eyes waking. And he couldn't speak. He came to the place, he says, I'm so troubled, I can't speak. He was so overwhelmed that words failed him. And then he tries to remember God's past mercies. But he's finding it hard to get there. And he asks the question, will the Lord cast off? Will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy team gone forever? Doth his promises fail forever? Have God forgotten to be gracious? Has his anger shut up his tender mercies? All these questions crowd his heart like a flood. Have you ever been to that place where all you're left is with questions, unanswered questions? But I want to tell you, friend, the Lord hadn't cast them all. The promises of God hadn't failed. His mercy had not gone. God had not forgotten to be gracious. But at that moment, he couldn't see. Has God changed? No, friend. He's the same yesterday, He's the same today. He's the same forever. Even though you can't see. He looked up. And then he looked in. Thirdly, he looked back. We find in verse number 11, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? He remembers. Thank God he has got to the place where he looks back and he remembers God's deliverances of the past. And that's what brought him through. God's bringing him out of the pit. And you and I, in the midst of our depressions, friend, listen, the Word of God says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The devil wants you to concentrate on you. You need to concentrate on the Lord. Get your eyes on him. And thank God that the Lord is bringing the psalmist through. That the psalmist is now looking back. He sees the hand of God. He gets taken up with God. He said, listen, thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast for thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. He looks back. And he sees, remembers the mighty hand of God. He stops lamenting and he starts praising God. Can you not look back on your life? Can you not see what God has done for you? Remember the day he saved you? Remember the day he lifted you out of the pit of your sin? You were on your way to hell. Without hope. Without help. He saved you. Listen, friend. He's still the same God. He's still the same. I am the Lord. I change not. And so he looks back. And he remembers the hand of God. And he drives, or he gets comfort from the past. He draws from the past a lesson of trust. And he praises the Lord. Verses 16 to 20, we've got to finish. He looks at the cross. Because he remembers redemption. Verse 15, thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid and the depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out waters. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows went forth. The voice of thy thunder was in the heavens. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea. Thy path is in the great waters. And thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses. He remembers the greatest scene of redemption in the Old Testament. How God delivered his people. When their back was against the wall, where there was no hope, only God. And remembered how God redeemed them through the blood. Now, when I'm in the midst of the depths of despair, friend, I run to the cross. And I remember I'm a child of God. I've been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the God of the Passover night, and the God of the Red Sea, and the God of the cloudy pillar, and the God of Sinai, and the God of the wilderness, and the God of Jordan, and the God of Calvary. Listen, thou leadest thy people like a flock. And God brought them through. And God says to me, child, trust me. I'll bring you through. Thank God if you're saved. Remember this. You're in the hand of God. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Are you in a deep valley? Remember the psalmist. David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. That's where your hope is. Get back to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise thee that thou art the God of the valley, just the same as that thou art the God of the mountain. We bless thee that though our circumstances change, though our feelings at times change, yet thou changest not. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us people today to get their eyes off their circumstances and to get their eyes off their problems and get their eyes upon thee, the Lord. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Lord, help us to trust and not to be afraid. In Jesus' name. Amen.